Today we are going to start the book of 1 Thessalonians. This book is very important book. I'm not giving a history about the book, but I'm going to tell you this book was written by Paul. And when this book is written for Thessalonians, the message is for us also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now St. Paul is writing to Thessalonians, but he says Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. If you say Paul and Silas, the same man is Silvanus. And Paul and Timothy, the same is Timotheus. And he says, unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul is saying, this church is in God and this church is in Christ. What does it mean? He says, this church made the God their Father and Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you read about Church of Galatians, it just says Church of Galatians. And if you read the Galatians chapter 3, starting from verse 1, he says, oh, foolish Galatians. But here he is saying to this Thessalonian church, this church is in God and this church is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many churches around the world, but they don't have God in their church. They don't have Jesus Christ in their church. And the word of God says Jesus Christ is outside the building, knocking at the door. He says, open the door and let me come in. How many churches have Jesus in them? Many churches do not have Jesus in them. I don't know how to tell you, but there are churches called Jehovah's Witnesses or churches of some other names. They don't have Jesus, but they have some other things in their church. And some of the churches, they just have a social gathering, no spirit, no power of God, and just the social gathering, and they call themselves church. He says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know when the grace of God and the mercy of God, we would not know without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one reveal us the God's grace and God's mercy. St. John chapter 1 verse 17 we read, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the only one, shows the mercy and love of God. Without Jesus Christ, there is no mercy. Without Jesus Christ, there is no grace. So the Jesus Christ showed us the mercy. But he says, now peace from God. God is the one sent his only begotten son to die on the cross of Calvary. That's why we learn in the St. John chapter 3 verse 16. What he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why God gave his son? To die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no peace. The middle wall of partition was broken down by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why we got peace. Isaiah said Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So without Jesus, there is no peace. That's why St. Paul is reminding these people, we got the grace and peace through Lord Jesus Christ, through the Father and the Son. So we have the Father and Son. We should be thanking God, the Father and Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2.
We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers.
Now St. Paul is saying, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. There are pastors, there are church members praying for one another. Someone said in their prayer that we should be praying for one another. And Jesus gave the commandment that I'm giving you new commandment that love one another. So without Jesus Christ, we don't know how to love. So here the word of God is saying, he says, we give thanks always to God for you. Before you pray, you should be thanking what God has done for you. So he says, I'm always thanking God. And what he's doing, not only thanking for each and every member, but praying for each and every member. This is the responsibility of pastor. Pastor is supposed to be praying for each and every member. Now just think that if some pastor has 10,000 members, now he would not know the 10,000 members' name. He would not remember 10,000 members' faces because he cannot see all of them. But thank God we can remember every face and we can recognize everyone and we can pray for you. He's saying, I'm thanking God for you, and not one time, but always, and mentioning you in my prayers. So God has given us grace. When we sit every day, morning, evening, afternoon, whenever we sit, we praise God, we thank God, we pray for the church, we pray for the growth of the church, we pray for the members. If some member is sick or some member left the church for some reason, we pray for every one of them. And that's what the Saint Paul has given us an example to pray for the church members. Verse 3.
Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Remembering without ceasing what he's remembering. He says, I remember without ceasing. I don't want to forget a one moment what you're doing. What is he saying? Your work of faith and labor of love. See, work without faith is what? Dead. So whatever you're doing, do it by faith. If you're doing something and you don't believe what you're doing, you don't know what you're doing. And then he says, labor of love. Sometimes you might do the work, but you are not doing by love. Just like you told your son or daughter, do this. Say, I don't want to do it. I told you to do it. Okay, Dad, I'm going to do it. But you're doing it because you got some command or fear or somebody told you to do. But if you love your dad or love your mom or love your pastor or love your church or love God, love Jesus Christ, you will do everything by love. Works without faith is dead, and without love your work is in vain. Because you do something but you do not mean what you're doing. Some people say, I love what I'm doing. So if you love what you're doing, then you do the job right. If you don't love something, then you would not be doing the right thing. You might be thinking, I do not want to do this thing. I have told to do this. You can be in the factory. You can be in the hospital. You can be in your house. Whatever you're doing. We just studied the book of Colossians and we learned that whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever I'm doing for the glory of God. Then you do it by love. Not by force, not because I have to do, but I want to do it. So here is a remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Not only that, he's saying faith and you have love. But if you have faith and if you have love of God, but if you don't have patience and hope, our life will be miserable. Whatever we're doing, sometimes you do something and it takes time and then you get panic. When I'm going to finish this, or when this is going to be over. But when you patiently waiting upon the Lord, then you have nothing to worry. Jesus Christ says, I will come back. Now some people said, he said 2,000 years ago. Why he didn't come yet? He has given us the signs of times. But if you really, really loving the Lord and doing the things for the Lord, then the time goes so fast. Jacob loved Rachel. And he loved her so much, but his father-in-law deceived him and gave another girl, but he waited for the Rachel. And he said that time went so fast, just like yesterday. Why? Because he loved her so much. If you're loving Jesus Christ, you know, and then he told us to do something before he comes. What did he say? Occupy until I come. So you were doing something. I want to present something to my Lord. I want to do something for my Lord. And if you start busy, your time goes so fast. If you have nothing to do, then you are bored. And the bored people say, I have nothing to do. What am I going to do? I'm going to kill myself. I have no enjoyment in this world. I don't know why I'm here. But if you love the Lord, then you'll be busy. When you're busy, your time goes so fast. Our Jesus Christ promised to come. And these books will tell us. End of this chapter, we start reading about second coming of Christ. So in short, he is trying to say, you have faith, you have love, you have patience, and you have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and the Father. So he says, you are so faithful, working just like in the sight of God means God is watching you. I'm doing for the Lord. God is watching over me. You know, the boss is watching over you. You will do the right thing because somebody is there to find if you're doing right or not. So he says, you thinking in your heart, my Father is here, the Lord Jesus Christ is here, and whatever I'm doing for Christ. And when you do for Christ, you're doing by love, you're doing by faith, you do it by patience, and we have hope, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 4.
Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake.
Now he says, knowing, brethren, and beloved, your election of God. He says, I recognize your calling. Say, God has called you with a purpose. Now, each and every person sometimes say, why am I here? We are here on this earth to recognize where we are going. Only on earth, we have to make a decision to follow Christ or follow the world. So he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God means God has called you with a purpose. Each and every person, God has called with a purpose. If you don't know the purpose, if you don't know the will of God, I always say, go to the book of Romans and chapter 12, read verse 1 and 2. There he says, when you sacrifice your body as a living sacrifice, and then you renew your mind and do not conform to this world, then you know what is the will of God for you. We would not know the will of God until we completely sold out to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, our mind is bombarded with a worldly thing and we do not have the mind of Christ. So here the word of God is saying, you should understand, you should recognize your calling. Each and every person is called by God. We are belong to Jesus Christ. And so he said, many call, but what? Few are chosen. But at least you have a call of God on you. And then he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. And when we came there to preaching the word of God does not come just word only. Then what did it happen? He says, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as we know what manner of man we were. So what he's trying to say, when we bought the Word of God, we did not bring simply the Word. Now there are people, they talk about doctrines, they talk about fundamental teaching, they talk about we believe in Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but what? There is no power of God. There is no power of the Holy Spirit. If you start speaking in tongues, they will say, get out of the church. And if you start praising God loud, they said, we don't want this noise in our church. He says, we came and brought the word of God to you, not just the simple word. The word was filled with the power and filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ was preaching, they said he preached with what? Power and authority. So we have to preach the word of God like a power and authority, because God has given us his wisdom and his power by the Holy Spirit. So he says the word came with the power, with the Holy Ghost, and with the assurance. And so the word gives you assurance that we are not really going somewhere without any aim. The word of God is telling us who Jesus Christ is, why Jesus Christ came, why Jesus Christ died, why Jesus rose again, why Jesus went to heaven, and why Jesus Christ is coming back. Everything is in the word. We have assurance. Any kind of problem you have, go to the word of God, and word of God will give you assurance. There are people having so many problems, and so simply give them the New Testament and say, please start reading. And say, start reading from John's Gospel, if you want to start reading from Mark's Gospel, and then read the whole New Testament. That person will never go wrong. I guarantee you there is a peace, there is a salvation, there is a joy, there is eternal life in the Word of God. So there is the assurance in the Word of God. And so he's saying, as you know what manner of man we were among you for your sake. So he said, we came to that your town. We just came for you, and we were good witness of Jesus Christ. In short, he said, you could not find any fault in us. We were there giving a good example. Example of Christ. You know, St. Paul says, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. You cannot go wrong if somebody says, I'm following Christ, you follow me. Let's go to verse 6.
And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost.
See, again he says, when we gave a good example, you became followers of us. And that's a good thing. If somebody gives you a good example, and you take that person's example, you follow that person. Today there are so many heroes, movie stars, basketball players, football players, and some other heroes, singers and things like that. You cannot take their examples. Pretty soon you will see they are in drugs. That person killed somebody. Pretty soon you will say something wrong that person did. We cannot follow those kind of role models. Our model is Christ. And so St. Paul is saying, you became followers of us. Why? Because they were following Jesus Christ. Do you know the disciples of Jesus Christ? They were just the fishermen, ordinary people. But the people start saying, you know what? These people were followers of Christ. And that's why they have all this knowledge and all this wisdom. So he's saying, you became followers of us and the Lord Jesus, having receiving the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So he says, you became followers of us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the word of God came to them, it was not an easy time. So much persecution was happening. Paul got beaten so many times. They was in prison so many times, and that's the time this church was born. So they knew this was not an easy thing. Jewish people were giving hard time to Paul, each and every synagogue he goes. But some of the unsaved, heathen people followed St. Paul. And so he is saying, when we came to you, with a great affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost you received us. That means you have joy in your heart. You saw the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's why you were rejoicing in the Lord. You know, once you have Christ in you, the suffering doesn't mean anything. Because you will rejoice in each and every situation. That's why the St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And if you read the Peter's letters, each and every suffering and all kinds of problem you come across or come to you, what you do? Rejoice. And he says, rejoice in the Holy Ghost. There are people do not know the power of the Holy Spirit. I recommend you to receive the Holy Spirit. Start feeling in the Holy Spirit. Start speaking in tongue. I guarantee you, that's the joy you will never forget. That's the joy gives you peace and rest to your soul. So you should be saying, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people are scared of Holy Spirit. They say, Holy Ghost is not a ghost. It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the third person of Trinity. We should not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, you will see the joy. And once you receive Jesus Christ, you see the joy of salvation. And so the salvation gives you joy. Once you receive the water baptism, you will have joy. I have seen the people when they go down the water and they come out, they start praising God and rejoicing in the Lord and be happy. So there is a joy in each and every situation. When you receive the Holy Spirit, same thing. So you get the joy by the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 7.
So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia.
See, again, St. Paul is saying, when we came to you, not only Macedonia, not only in Thessalonica, but whole Asia, we were an example. Can we say ourselves like that? I am a good example of Jesus Christ. If you want to see Jesus Christ, look at me. If you want to follow Christ, follow me. St. Paul had that courage. We should have the same courage. Somebody says, look at me. I'm the model of Christ and you have a bottle of beer or liquor in your hand. That's not a good example. Or you say, follow me and you have a cigar in your hand. So we have to have a good example to the believers. He said, you people. Now, St. Paul says, I'm an example to you, and now these people became example to all over the world. St. Paul says wherever he went, he was a good example. And then these people got the same example. Read the verse 8.
For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So that we need not speak anything.
See, he says, the word of God is sounded in your church or in Thessalonica. Now that word is went to surrounding areas. Not only that, all around the world. Everyone start knowing the church of Thessalonica. We try to preach the gospel, not only in Philadelphia, around the world, through the radio, through the printed page, through the internet. But more effective word is what? Word of testimony. If any dealer, car dealer, or any business, they do billions of dollars of advertisement. Billions of dollars. Sometimes I think, you know, this healthcare or the insurance people or any person spends thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in advertisement. If they could save that money and help that money giving to the pocket of the people who are member of that insurance company. But, you know, they just do it for the bringing more people. Thousands of dollars they are spending to bring you to their company. But the best advertisement is what? Your word. You telling somebody, hey, I'm with this company and they treated me good. How long you are in another insurance company? This many years. But can you compare my company with yours? My company is better. That person will give up that company and join yours. The same way you have to have a testimony. I go to church. Come and see my church. Science and wonders and miracles are happening. We praise God. We glorify God. We listen to the word. Other day one person told me, you know what? In your church you preach 1 hour. We need more time for dancing and praising and say hallelujah. I said, sir, important is the word of God. You can go to some other convention, 2 hours, just the singing and praising and dancing happens. But the people sometimes get tired and go home. And the meat of the word of God, they don't hear. So important thing is when you go to church, you go to listen to the word of God. The word of God has the power. We just read a few minutes ago. The word of God can change you, transform you. You need the word of God. That's what he says. The word of God is sounded. Your neighbor should know who you are. Your village, your church, everybody should know what kind of person you are. We should be like a good example as a Christian to your family, to your neighborhood, wherever you are. Because if they see you a nasty person or bad person, they don't want anything about God. People should be saying, I was a sinner. I was doing wrong thing. But I'm changed. And now I live for Christ. Certain things I used to do, I gave up. Look at me, my life has changed. Then somebody would say, or I want to listen to you. Or somebody says, I was sick. Jesus touched me. He healed me. He can heal you too. So we have to have a good testimony. Many people should be saying, you know that neighborhood, that person lives in the raw house? I see him every Sunday. He goes to church, he takes your children to church, and he's a good man. And sometimes they want to see what church you go to. There is one lady came to our church one day, and I said to her, are you married? Yes. Where is your husband? She said, don't talk about husband. So I said, okay, can we pray that he should come to church? You could pray. So I said, okay. I said, could you tell him that where you go to church? She didn't tell. And so one day, I prayed for the man, whoever he was, and I said, Lord, let him come to church. One day, the whole family, means the lady came, her children came. She was coming, she came in and the man was opening the door. I said, sister, is that your husband? She looked at, oh yeah. I said, did you tell him to come to church? Did you invite him? No, I didn't. I said, that's okay. And I said to this man, come on in. And I gave him the seat. He said, I have so many questions about my church. I don't want to tell the name of the church, but I said, don't worry. As you come and listen to the word of God, whatever the questions you have, those questions will be gone. 3 months later, he says, Pastor Peter, you know what? I said, what? I am Christian. I am born again Christian. It took 3 months. Within 3 months, he got born again Christian. He said, can you baptize me? I said, yes. I baptized him and his whole family. What I'm trying to say, when you go to church, you should be witness. Not saying, I don't want my wife coming to this church. I don't want my husband coming to this church. I don't want somebody coming to my church. I don't want this neighbor coming to, I have enough problem with him. I don't want him to come to my church. That is not the Christian love. We want each and every person to follow Christ. And that's what we need. So we have to keep on telling others about Jesus Christ. Other day, one sister came. She came for the first time. And she was so happy she came. She said, I just walked here. I said, praise God. Second Sunday, I said, sister, where is your daughters? She said, they are busy. I said, can I talk to them? She said, well, she called from the church phone. Nobody recognized because the daughter might be outside working, cutting the grass, hard working. So I said, don't worry. She said, I'm going to call from my cell phone. They will recognize. She called on the cell phone. Daughter was still busy. Would like to talk to my pastor? Daughter said, well, I'm busy, mom. She gave it to me anyhow. And I talked to the sister and prayed with her. And today, she's here.
Amen.
Praise God. What I'm trying to say, not only she is here, but she got her sister here. So today, mother and two daughters are here. Have it happen. If I do not take the interest on the family, they say, nobody cares. We care. We care about you. We care about your daughters. We care about your children. We care about your neighbors. We want them to know that we are here to help you. So in short, what I'm trying to say, the word of mouth has more power than any billboards. You keep on telling somebody, I went to this church and I got blessed. Somebody will come and somebody will call. So he says, your name and your fame and your ministries went abroad so much. He said, we don't have need to telling anybody about you because people already know what you're doing. Verse 9.
For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
So St. Paul is saying, wherever I go, other people are telling about you. They're saying, hey, Paul, look at your Thessalonian church. They're doing great works. We heard about them. They came to witness here. And what is the testimony? You were doing idol worship before, but now you are serving the living God and true God. So the same way, somebody would say, hey, I saw this girl, I saw this man in the bar. I don't see them in the bar anymore. But now he has a Bible in his hand and he's telling me about Jesus Christ. That's what the testimony we need. I told you one day, one old mother, she was 85 years old. And she said, you know, my grandson is in the basement smoking, drinking, having a girl and not married, and I am ashamed of him. So I did not tell you about him, but today I'm telling because he said I'm going to kill myself. When I talked to him, it's a long story, talked to him, God saved him that night. Month later, this man comes with a three-piece suit and knocking at grandma's door. Grandma, she opened the door. You must be born again.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say, the man who was in drugs, alcohol, and addiction, now he is not ashamed to carry the Bible in his hand and going and telling his grandmother, you must be born again. That's what we have to do. Let the people know that I was a bad person, now I'm a good man. When God saved me, in my neighborhood I went. In my old church I went. And told these people, come on, see what God has done in my life. And many of the old church members got saved through the ministry. And in my neighborhood, I had two houses. I gave one house to the Lord and I invited people, come to my house. I was not even minister at that time, just the believer. When I got saved, I went to each and every old church member's house and told them to come and have a service, have a Bible study in my house. What I'm trying to say, that's the sign that you are changed. That's the sign you are born again. We cannot go to heaven alone. We want so many people with us. So here he's saying, there is a testimony. You were doing idol worship. Now you are serving the true and living God. I am born again. I am baptized. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I read the Bible and I just rejoice in the Lord. That's what you have to give testimony to the other people, because we have to let the people know we are transformed. We are changed. We are not the same old folks. We are changed by the Holy Spirit, by the living Word of God. And verse 10. This chapter is very small, only 10 verses. Verse 10.
And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Now see, I told you, this book talks about the second coming of Christ. Each and every chapter, somewhere you'll see about second coming. So the ending of this chapter, now here is saying, your testimony is good, you are idol worshippers, now you came to the true and living God, and you are doing good. Now what are you doing? To wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God,